today is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 24 and 25. We have likewise 26 and 27, but I don't think I'll reach those chapters. I left off speaking to you last week about how that Abraham was concerned about having a wife for his son Isaac, and how that he sent his servant Eliezer out to seek a wife for his son. And he commanded him to go to his brother's house, and that God would prosper his journey, that an angel would go before him and would make his way prosperous. And we find this servant, Eliezer, coming to a certain city, and it was getting near evening. And at evening time, usually, the maidens, the women of the city, they came out to get water at this well. And he stopped here at this well, and he let his camels kneel down, and he's sitting there by this well. And now, as I said, this servant was a God-fearing man. And now he commences to pray to God. And he says to God, "Lord God of Abraham, my master, I am here by the side of this well, where the daughters of the men of the city come out to fetch water." And he sets a sign before God and says, "Now, Lord, the woman that comes out and to whom I should say, 'Give me to drink,' and she gives me to drink and says, 'I will give also to your camels to drink also,' let that be the one whom thou hast chosen for my servant Isaac." And he no more than had been done praying, and there comes Rebekah. And she was the daughter of Bethuel, and she was born unto Nahor, the brother of Abraham. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, and she was a virgin. And she came down, and she fetched water out of the well with her pitcher. And he ran to meet her, and he said unto her, "Give me to drink." And she let down the pitcher off her shoulder, and she gave unto Eliezer to drink. And after he had drank, she says, "I will give unto your camels also to drink." This was a wonderful thing. The Bible says he had 10 camels, so you can just about imagine how much water she had to fetch to give these camels water. As you all know, camels carry a whole lot of water. So it took her quite a while to give these camels the water necessary for them. And while she was doing this, this man, he just marveled. You know, it is written in the Word of God, "Before that they even speak, I will answer." And here this man had no more been finished praying, and he had an answer to his prayer. Here he watched this woman, and she'd done just as he had said unto God. He seen God in this woman. It was a sign and a token for him that God had heard and answered his prayer. And he went to this woman, and he asked her who she was. And she said that she was the daughter of Bethuel, born unto Nahor, Abraham's brother. Another wonder to this man. He didn't know the woman. He didn't know where she came from. But here he had come to the right place, met the right woman, and it was the right woman that God had chosen for Isaac to be his wife. And when she said this, this man, he fell down immediately before God, and he began to worship God and to acknowledge God for the wonder that he had shown unto him, and that he had prospered him, and that he had made his way speedy. And he asked this girl if they had place for him to sleep there and to stay there. And she said, "Yes, we have provender enough, and we have places for you to stay." So he drew out of his treasuries that he had with him a great golden bracelet, and he gave her a pair of earrings, and he gave this woman these gifts. And she went back to her house, and she began to say unto the people in her house, her mother and her brother Laban, what she had experienced down at that well. How that at this well there was now a servant of Abraham. And She related everything to her mother and to her brother, and she showed them the gifts that she had received of the man. And he had asked if he could stay there that evening. And you may be sure that Laban, her brother, when he saw what she had received, he was very anxious himself, in all probabilities, to receive something. And he ran down to meet the man down at the well. And when he came to this man, he said unto this man, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, for I have prepared the provender and the places for your camels." He then called this man a blessed man of the Lord. "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." This man really was blessed of the Lord. He had the grace of God, and he had been given an answer to his prayer, and he was entitled to what Laban called him. But I wonder if any of you that are listening to me have ever been given to pray as this Laban did. Unto this Eliezer, he said unto him, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." Haven't you ever addressed God in heaven or the Lord Jesus Christ in this way and have said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord"? Wouldn't you want him to come into your heart? Wouldn't you want him to enter into your soul? Just as he entered into the temple in Jerusalem and he cast out all those that sold and that exchanged money, and he chased them out with a cord of whips. How many listening to me have ever offered up this little short prayer, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord"? All we do wish him to come in. All we do wish him to make our hearts his habitation, and that he would dwell with us. Oh, what a mercy if you have this in your soul and you are looking up unto God and asking him to come into you and to dwell with you. "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." Oh, what a guest he is, what a friend he is, what a companion he is. Oh, I could extol him before you, my hearers, and I would wish that every one of you were saying, "Oh, do come into my heart, do take my heart in, and do make my heart thy dwelling place." And now this man Eliezer, he was given to come up to the house of Bethuel and Laban. And when he came there, why, they had everything ready for him. They gave him provender for his camels, and he sat down, and they had a table all set to eat. And he says, "Now before I eat," he says, "I have a message to bring to you." And he began to relate to them how that Abraham had been married to Sarah, and how that they had no children, but finally God had blessed Abraham and Sarah with a son in their old age. And God had blessed Abraham exceedingly. He had money and he had all sorts of cattle and he had things that showed that he was a wealthy man. And even the servant could prove to them by what he had given unto this girl that truly he was wealthy. And now he had been sent by his master to seek a wife for his son Isaac. And he had been by the providence of God brought to that well, and he relates unto them just what he had said unto God and how this girl had come down just at that time when he had been praying and how it was an answer to his prayer. And now these people, the mother and the brother of this girl, they said, "The thing is of God. What shall we say?" And he fell down again, and he worshiped God. Why, they were so sure that it was of God that they couldn't say anything else. And therefore he said unto them, "May I then," he says, "take this girl and bring her to my master Isaac?" Well, they said, "Go to the girl yourself and see what she says." So they went to this Rebekah, and they asked her if she would go, and she was immediately ready to go. What he had given her, what she had experienced down at the well, she was so assured that it was all of God and that she was to be the woman for Isaac that she consented immediately to go. But now Laban and her mother, they said, let her stay 10 days. No, he says, God has made my way prosperous, and let us go immediately. So then they put the question to her, and she said she would go. And she was immediately ready to leave. She didn't want to stay 10 days. So the next morning they got up and away they went. And we find that this servant is carrying Rebekah and her maid and the servants that were with him back to where Abraham lived. And it's getting near evening. And they're coming through the field and they see a man coming through the field. And here it was Isaac. He dwelt by the well Lahori in the south country. And he was in the field. The Bible says he was meditating in the field. I believe the man was praying in the field. He probably was praying that God would send him a wife and that he would prosper the journey of Eliezer. Isaac, he was a man of prayer. He then was in the field. He was alone. How many of you, my hearers, find time to pray to God? How many of you separate yourselves and go alone, get away from everybody else, and pour out your heart unto God and tell him everything about yourself? How many of you have something that you want off God, and you are pleading in secret, begging him that he would grant you the desire of your heart? This man was seeking a wife, and God was pleased likewise, I believe, to hear even Isaac's prayer. For there he's coming through this field, and there comes Eliezer with the very woman that God had designated should be his wife. And then when this woman seen this man walking, she said to this servant, who is that man? And he says, this is my master. And she immediately put a veil over her face, and she got down off her camel. And Eliezer went to Isaac and spake unto him and told him just how he had got this woman. And Isaac, he took this woman into his mother's tent, and she became his wife. And Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. We have here a chapter, 57 verses, just about how Isaac got a wife. I often think of what the Raymond says. You think God just gave us this chapter to tell us how Isaac got a wife? Now, there are many spiritual interpretations in this chapter by hearers. God don't give us a big chapter like this just to let us know how Isaac got a wife. Now in this, there is this, what I see in it, that just as Abraham sent out Eliezer to seek a wife for Isaac, so God in heaven above, he has his people here below. And he sends out the Spirit of God, which goes forth from the Father and from the Son, seeking a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we find that this woman, she came to the well. Now the well are the means of grace. In the Bible we read of the wells of salvation. Now they are the means of grace to which I would invite every one of you. Eliezer came to this well and he stood by the well. So the Spirit of God hovers over the Word, over the places where God has his honor and where he likewise has his children come together to meet and to hold worship. Here the Spirit of God comes down at times and uses the Word. It becomes a word of salvation to some souls. This woman came to this well, and there sat this Eliezer. And what a wonderful meeting this woman had. It was all of God. And so it goes with the soul. They come to the church, they come under the means of grace, and suddenly this Spirit comes down in the midst of the congregation. It arrests upon the soul of some poor sinner. And what a meeting that is. Have you ever had such a meeting, my hearers? Has God ever come down under the means of grace into your heart? Has he ever opened your heart and opened your ears, and it was just for you and for nobody else? Oh, you never forget a time like that. Everybody don't have a meeting like that. But it pleases God to use the means. It pleases him to use the word. And now this girl, as she met this man, Eliezer, and this man, he gave unto her bracelets, and he gave her earrings, he gave her gifts. So when you are wrought upon by the Spirit of God, that God gives unto you faith, he gives you hope, he gives you love, he gives you his dear son Jesus in due time. He gives you gifts. All these gifts are so precious, my hearers. If he gives you an open ear, if he gives you an open heart, if he gives you a broken heart, oh, what wonderful things these are. You never had them before. You were never concerned about these things. But oh, it pleases God to come down and witness in your soul that you're one of his children, that he loves you, that he's leading you, that he drew you. He opens your eyes and gives you to believe and to see that he has his favor towards you. And now what did this girl do? She went back with these gifts and she showed them to her mother and to her brother. And if God ever gives you something of his love and of his favor and of his mercy in your heart, then you'll want to go to God's people. You'll want to go to his people and tell them, look, this is what God gave me. And they will rejoice with you. They will be so glad to know that God has chosen another one of his children from amongst them. Oh, how happy you may believe was the mother and the brother of this girl when they seen these gifts. And how happy she was herself. And now we find that Eliezer, he took this woman and he spake unto her. And he told her all about Isaac, and that he was the son of Abraham, and that he was a wealthy young man, and that he was probably a God-fearing man, for Isaac feared God. And the more now that this Eliezer began to speak about this man Isaac, the more that her heart began to burn within her to meet him, to know him, and to be married to him. And now this takes place, my hearers, in the souls of God's dear children. And the more that they hear about Jesus Christ, the more that God reveals the wonderful love and mercy and compassion that there is in this Savior, and how willing he is, and how able he is to save the greatest of sinners, and the more such a soul begins to long and to yearn and to hunger and thirst, that they may know Jesus, that they may be given to possess Jesus, that they may be united to Jesus. How many people here are like that? Oh, I do wish that everyone was like that. Oh, what a mercy. If God has with his Spirit given us such a desire to possess Christ, I wish every one of you was saying, oh, give me Christ, or I shall perish in my sins. You see that in him is everything, and outside of him it's a lost matter. Oh, to possess him, to have him as your Savior, as your husband, as your King, is so necessary, my hearers. And now when this Eliezer put it to her, after he had told her all about Isaac, will you go? She was immediately ready to go. She was ready to leave her father and her mother and her brother, everything, and to go to be the bride of Isaac, who she never seen. She had only heard about him. How true this is with God's dear children. All we only hear of him. But oh, when we have an ear to hear of this wonderful Savior, he becomes the one altogether lovely for us. And all we long and desire to have him. And therefore, she immediately left everything. How many have come to that place? How many have seen such beauty and such loveliness in Jesus and such a need for him as a poor sinner struggling with the burden of your sin upon your back? How many have been given to leave everything? Oh, I think there are some that say, I don't care what happens to me in this life if I only possess him. Oh, he is the one that I need. I will go to him and I will lay at his feet and I will tell him everything about myself. And if he saves me, it'll be grace. What a wonder if you have that in your heart. Now, this woman, she left everything. She left her brother, she left her mother, and she left her house, and she went to a man who she never had seen. Ah, oh, so many of God's dear children are on this way. And there may be some that have seen him. Oh, what a mercy it is to be given an eye of faith to see Jesus. Oh, how many have never seen him. How many see no beauty, no excellency, no need of Christ, have never been given to leave and to forsake their father's house and to go to him to be received by him. And now this woman, she went, and when she was going, why, we find that Isaac came, and she met Isaac. And when she was told that it was Isaac, she fell off the camel, and she covered her face with a veil. All my hearers, if ever you have a meeting with Jesus, you will never be able to fall low enough. You will never be able to get down into the depths of your misery and sin enough before him. And you will realize how black, how filthy, how vile, how corrupt you are in the sight of him, this wonderful, this glorious, and this lovely person, Jesus. She covered herself with a veil, and so you will want to cover yourself before the face of him with whom you have to do. And now Isaac came to her. He took her, and he brought her into his mother's tent. And he married her, and she became his wife. And now, my hearers, if ever you are given, like Rebecca, to see something of this precious Jesus in a spiritual sense, Rebecca never seen what you will see in Jesus. She's seen in him the man that Eliezer had been speaking about. But you will see God and man in one person, Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Redeemer, your all and your all. Blessed are they who are given by grace to see something of this precious Christ in their life, to be joined unto him in marriage and to become one with him and to know him as your husband, as your Savior, as your all and in all. And now we find, my hearers, that Abraham, in the next chapter, he has lost his wife and he's reached a ripe old age. The Bible just doesn't say how old he is, but he goes forth and he marries a woman by the name of Keturah. And he had 6 children by this woman. Commentary says she probably was one of the maids that worked in his house. God must have strengthened this man, Abraham, so that he was enabled to yet have 6 sons. These sons, they all became princes and chiefs of Arabian tribes. Abraham then, after these sons had grown up, he sent them all away. He gave them certain portions, and he sent them into the east country. But Isaac, he gave unto him all that he had. He was the heir of promise, and he received the inheritance that Abraham had laid up for him. And now we find that Abraham came to the time that he had to die. Abraham, he was 175 years of age. He was 75 years old when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and 100 years he traveled through the land of Canaan. He had no possession therein whatsoever outside of the field that he purchased to bury his wife in. And now this man, of whom we have 13 chapters in the Bible, we have one verse which gives us an account of his death. And Abraham was old, and he gave up the ghost. Abraham then died, 175 years of age. Now this man, Abraham, was a man of faith. He had that precious grace that God gives to every one of his children. He is called the father of the faithful. His faith was very predominant and very strong. It was very obedient and obeyed God in many things. And now this man, Abraham, he passed away in a good old age of 175 years. Many people don't live half the age of Abraham. Half of that would be about 87 years of age. How few attain to such an age in our time? We would say that would be a good old age, 87 years of age. Very few attain that age. How many pass away? How many have passed away in the last month in the congregation? A death is certain, my Hebrews, and the hour very uncertain. It is appointed unto man to die, and thereafter judgment. And we know not how soon that we have to die. It's a certain thing. No one can escape it. We may put it out of our minds and put it far from us, but it's around about us. We notice this one, that one, passing away, and they're gone. You don't see their place on earth anymore. Time came for Abraham to die. But Abraham had grace. Abraham had much of the communion and the love and the fellowship of God in this life. And after an eventful life, he was taken up out of a sinful body, and his soul entered into glory. Oh, what a blessing it was for Abraham. He went to be forever with the Lord. Oh, my hearers, should not the question arise in your and my heart, where will I be if I should die? Will I go to be where Abraham is? Then you must experience something of what Abraham experienced. He was 75 years of age, and God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and told him to leave his father's house and to leave his country and to go into a land that he knew nothing of. So God calls each and one of his dear children out of this world, out of this Egypt, and they are given to forsake everything, to leave their father's house. There is a separation made by the Spirit of God, and they are separated from the world. They can't live in sin any longer. They see sin, such a horrible thing, that if they continue in it, they will perish. And therefore they are given to leave and to forsake their sins. And they leave every former friend, they leave the world, and they are given to seek salvation at the feet of God. They are given then to pray and to cry unto God, that he may have mercy upon them. They are led then in this way, and they know not how soon that they might die. Therefore they are very anxious and very concerned, and they are seeking after that city which God is the builder of, which likewise Abraham had been seeking. Abraham has landed safe into that glorious city above. And so each and every one of God's dear children who have been led out of this world here below, let out of themselves and brought on the narrow way, they eventually will land in that glorious city above, where no inhabitant shall say, I am sick. Oh, how blessed it must have been for Abraham. And now after this, we find that God blessed Isaac, and we have a whole history of the names of the sons that were born unto Keturah and all their generations. And then we come to the 20th verse of this chapter, and we find that Isaac and Rebekah are mentioned, how that Isaac was born unto Abraham, and Rebekah was born unto Bethuel, and she was the daughter of Nahor, the brother of Abraham. And they were married. Isaac married Rebekah when he was 40 years of age. And now Isaac and Rebekah are about 60 years old. When she left her father's house, then her mother and her brother spake unto her and said, Go, and be ye a mother of nations and of millions. And now we find in this very verse that they are married 20 years and they have no children. Rebekah was barren. And we find that Isaac, he entreated the Lord for Rebekah because she was barren. How many times do you think he done that? Just once? Don't you think in them 20 years they've been praying to God that they would have a child? Don't you think that they reminded God about the promise that he had given unto Abraham, that his seed would be as the stars in the sky for multitude? And here they were of that seed and they have no children. What would become of the promise? We find, I am sure, Isaac and Rebekah praying that God would give them a child. She was barren. In the first place, this lesson we had out of that. Rebekah is a type of each and every one of us. We are born in this world and we are destitute of the life of God, which he only gives to his elect. And now when God begins this work of grace in the person's soul, be it a wife, be it a husband, be it a child, and they see in their own family, their own partner, barren, destitute of this life, you may be sure that they entreat God, that he likewise would give unto them that life, and that he has graciously given unto them. All to see your partner in life, to see your children destitute of the life of God, traveling on the broad road, any day they can die and be lost forever. Oh, how you entreat God. And now Isaac probably entreated him for 20 years. And it may be you've been entreating God many more years than that, and you got no answer. It doesn't seem like God's going to hear your prayers. And it was probably so with Isaac and Rebekah. But there came a time that Isaac was given to entreat God, and he was entreated of him. Keep on, souls. This teaches us to persevere in prayer. We know not when God may give an answer to our cries. And now this woman, she became pregnant. She was given then that she was going to have a child. You know, there are many people that are barren, that have no children. And some, they're only too glad they don't. They never entreat God that he might give them a child. Then there are some that are barren and would desire that God would give them one. But God opens and he gives, and God shuts, and he holds back this blessing from many a woman. The children are a heritage of the Lord, and it is God that gives us children. And if he has given you children, esteem them children. They are olive plants given by God unto you. And you will have to give an account of them in the day of judgment, how you have dealt with them and reared them and brought them up in your life. And now this woman, as she was pregnant, and there was such a disturbance inside, there was so much commotion going on inside, the commentary says she thought she was going to die of the commotion. She was so afraid. And so she went to the Lord and she inquired of the Lord. And she says, how am I thus? My hearers, Rebecca is a type of a person that is wrought upon by the Spirit of God. When God comes down into a sinner's soul, you may believe that there's a commotion, there's a turmoil going on within, and there is immediately a strife against sin, against yourself, against the world, against the flesh. And all this strife that becomes so unbearable. And just like now with Rebecca, she says, how am I thus? So such a person doesn't know what's going on within it. Can't make it out what the trouble is inside. I never was this way before. I never had any trouble with myself before. I could live the way I wanted to, but now everything is sin to me. I can't go on any longer in sin. What's the matter with me? What happened to me? Who touched me? Who struck me like this? Why am I always concerned inside? Can't make out what it is. Doesn't know what it is. Just like Rebecca, she went to the Lord and she inquired and said, how am I thus? And so a soul under the convictions of sin, being operated on by the Spirit of God, goes to God. Lord, is it thy work in my soul? Do make it plain. Do make it clear to me, Lord. Let me not deceive myself. It comes under the ministry of the Word. And as it listens to the description of the life of God in a sinner's soul, it gets such ears to hear, and it hears sounds, and it hears sounds, and it says, well, if that's the work of God in a sinner's soul, I can't deny that that's going on in me. But oh, if I only had a witness from God himself that it's his work, oh, if he only would tell me, oh, this good work has begun in you. Oh, how am I thus? How many souls have I got listening to me that are like that? How am I thus? Can't give it a name, don't know what it is, just hoping, waiting, praying, and all that God would give an answer to it and make it clear and make it plain for such a person. And now the Lord answered her and said unto her, there are two nations that shall come forth out of thee. One shall be strong and the other shall be weak, and the elder shall serve the younger. She was then told that she had twins and that two nations would come forth from her. And now this promise that God gave unto Rebecca was most certainly fulfilled. For she gave birth unto two sons, as you know, Esau and Jacob. Esau became the Edomites. These Edomites were a very strong and a powerful nation. They had dukes and they had kings long before Israel ever had a king. But in the time of David, he subdued them. And they became tributary to David for 150 years after that. Then they revolted. And then we find a king by the name of Amaziah. He subdued them. Their history goes on unto a certain man by the name of Maccabeus. He entirely routed them that they weren't any nation anymore. And they consented these Edomites to be circumcised, and they were incorporated in the Jewish nation and in the Jewish church, and are so even to this day. The Israelites that sprang forth from Jacob were a great and a powerful nation, and these Edomites, they were brought into subjection to them. The elder shall serve the younger. Likewise, we could describe to you how that this has a spiritual meaning. When God begins a work of grace, this work of grace we would call the younger. And this corruption, this body of sin that we have, we would call the elder. And finally, the younger shall prevail, over the elder. Grace shall most certainly prevail over the corruptions of our soul. Now, I can't go any further, my hearers. I'd like to, but my time is gone again. The Lord willing, we will pick up our lesson from this point next week. We will speak to you about the birth of Esau and Jacob. That's all for today.